Probably the main thing in the news over here over the last couple of weeks, or you know, certainly the last few days, has been this problem of the 15 service people over in, I say service people because 14 servicemen plus a lady who were actually captured off Iran. And it is certainly interesting looking at everything that takes place. I know that we were talking about how different the situation is today as opposed to, say, in days gone by. I know I was watching something on the television a few weeks ago about the Saint-Nazaire raid on the French coast, where the British went in and with the commandos, and they went in and attacked this naval base to stop the Tirpitz, I think it was, from actually being able to dock there. But in those days, if anybody was captured, they'd give their rank and serial number, and that was it. And we thought, just thinking about it, and you'd see what in fact has happened recently. The reason why they'd give their rank and serial number is that the enemy would be trying to get out of them information which would be of tactical interest, that they would therefore obtain about the rest of the army. But that's not the case today. That's not what we're looking at. And as we go into the future, and we certainly see certain things in prophecy, we need to be aware that war has changed a great deal. And what's happened today is it's not so much, you know, finding out things about the enemy. It's more a case, much more valuable than any of that, is the propaganda war that's taking place. And the media, and being able to blast it out across the internet and blast it out across television and have these things, you know, such as this one here. It says, the president tells the captives, I forgive you. This was a propaganda coup by the Iranians. It says, with the timing of a demagogue and passion of an Ahmadinejad, lectured the world on the wrongs of the West yesterday before delivering his killer line that he had, quote, forgiven his British captives. And after a coup de theatre, it was well executed. As an argument, it rehearsed the grievances of the Middle East disaffected autocrats. So we see the ending of this as something played before the media of the world. And we do, as I say, we do need to be aware that this is the one, in fact, is taking place at the moment. And certainly, if what Mr. Armstrong certainly felt was the case, that Satan has been cast down already. If you turn over to John chapter 8, it's a scripture that we read, certainly we have read quite recently. But here in John chapter 8, where Christ is talking about those that believed on him, as opposed to believing him, believing what he actually said, here in verse 43, it says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you can't hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. In other words, what you're wanting to do is what you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and did not stay in the truth. And the murdering and the not staying in the truth are put together. Because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and he's the father of it. And it says, which of you convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore don't hear them, because you're not of God. And certainly when Christ was bringing this out, he was saying, look, Satan's way, Satan's methodology is very much a case of propaganda. In an article, this was from today's paper, it says, the militant atheists tend to be too clever for their own good. Now, you see, it's not just what's happening over in Iran right now, because he actually begins this article and says, President Ahmadinejad chose his words carefully, announcing the release of the 15 British servicemen whom he held hostage. He said that Iran forgave them because it was the occasion of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad and also the passing of Christ. The word passing was deliberately vague. He used this phrase for what Christians call the passion, because Muslims, although they revere Jesus as a prophet, deny that he was crucified. Another was substituted in Jesus' place, they believe. So that's what the Islam believes. They believe that somebody else took the place of Christ. It is strange that the Quran, which explicitly accepts the virgin birth of Jesus, fastens on the most historical bits of the New Testament as being untrue. But of course it's helpful for Muslims if there's no crucifixion, because then there could be no resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, then the field is clear for Muhammad as the final prophet of God. So even in the actual wording that was used, and again, notice the way in which that wording was phrased, by the use of the passing of Christ, he goes on, it says, the president of Iran, well attuned to how propaganda works with different audiences, was trying to fool us in the West that he was being kind, while telling his people at home that he had the nation of infidels at his mercy. So we in the West would never even pick, it was this individual who in fact writes as a religious columnist that noticed the wording. And it took that to be able to make any comment of it. And then he goes on, he says, last week I attended a debate organized by Intelligence Squared, an organization devoted to high-level public argument. The subject was so popular that instead of the usual venue, the Methodist Central Hall in London had to be hired. And more than 2,000 people crammed in, and the motion was, we'd be better off without religion. You see, the way in which the world is today is not just a case of this propaganda coup by Ahmadinejad. There are so many propaganda coups that are taking place. And as you look at the papers, yes, you get these articles like this one that says, Tehran's ploy buys time and wrongs for Washington. Certainly that was part of what we were looking at. But there are so many other areas as well that were going on, and so many other coups that the master of lies was actually engaged in through these past week or 2 weeks. And it goes on here in this article, it says, by a curious reversal, it's now the atheists who thump the tub for their non-faith as if it was they who were the preachers. Matthew Paris, who writes a distinguished column in another newspaper, is normally notable for the subtlety of his argument and his sympathetic tone of voice. But this week he was so angry at religion, particularly at the idea that the intercession of the late Pope John Paul II had cured a nun of cancer. Why is he against that? Because again, the propaganda war, people see that, and they see the Catholics engage in a propaganda war as well. And we look around the world and we find all kinds of propaganda wars that are taking place. Paris wants faith and reason to part forever and for people to choose your side to the question. But how can you be sure, he employs assertion rather than reason to answer, oh boy, I am sure. Oh great quivering mountains of pious numbo jumbo, I am sure, am I sure. Oh fathomless, and these were the quotes from him, fathomless oceans of sanctified Babel, am I sure. Matthew sounded like those people who say, I know God exists because he speaks to me, only the other way around. I feel that atheism may be acquiring precisely those characteristics that atheists so dislike about religion: intolerance, dogmatism, righteousness, moral contempt for their one's opponent. And he goes on, he says, when you hear or read people like Richard Dawkins, you have to admit the force of arguments, but really, he goes into various areas there. But we do, in this particular crisis that took place, one thing that came across quite loudly was the women's lib movement. I knew I could go to war at any time. It was a choice I made. Young mother held captive in Iran says that she accepted the risk of frontline duty. And this particular lady, Faye Turney, she was the one that the Iranians used a great deal in their propaganda war, and also within the West it was also being used. But the kind of things that were being written, here's one from the Thursdays, the 29th of March. It says, a mother's place is in the Navy. This again is a comment. It says, my little girl is growing up every day. I'm missing that, Faye Turney told reporters. And on it goes. Says, in a letter to her parents released to the Foreign Office last night, she issued a grovelling apology to the Iranians and begged them to let her home to celebrate her daughter's Molly's birthday. It raises a familiar question. How could Britain have risked sending the mother of a 3-year-old to the front line? Asked a male colleague. It's barbaric. We'll be sending 15-year-olds next. And it goes on, and then the entire article is showing, in her view, how in fact it wouldn't be right to send fathers to the front either. And there is no difference between sending fathers or mothers. It makes no difference at all whether who actually stays behind. So again, what is actually coming across? It's again a propaganda coup from the feminist movement. At the same time, it says, changing sex of the guard at the castle. Female soldiers took over guarding Windsor Castle yesterday for the first time in its history. Just slipped in a little article. And again, you see that particular concept being pushed. Now, when we come to the area of atheism and that side of life, certainly in today's society, we see a huge amount. If we turn over to Romans 1, now I've read this, we've all read this many, many times. But again, notice what it's saying. It says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And then it goes on, it says, "What may be known of God is clearly seen, but they are suppressing that truth." And anybody that opens their eyes should be able to see that, hey, there is a God. This kind of organization doesn't just happen by blind chance. You cannot get blind chance to produce what we see out of our eyes every single day of our existence. It's insane to be able to think that. And statistically, it is impossible. Statistically, it is impossible to have all the things right. And what they've got to do then is just say, well, out of an infinite number of possible universes, this one exists. And even in some, there might be remaining without any form of evolution whatsoever. And, you know, they go into these long, involved, trying to explain the inexplicable. But anybody opening their eyes and seeing what they see out of their eyes should be able to see that there is an intelligence here, woven throughout everything within creation. And it then goes into verse 28, and it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," and the word knowledge there is the word for organized knowledge, it's their education, "then God gave them to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting and filled with unrighteousness," and they then the whole of society becomes filled with what then flows from the education, and the education comes from all different aspects. Again, at the same time as you're seeing this propaganda war that's going on from Ahmadinejad down in Iran, you'd also see another propaganda war, why Darwin's theory was slow to evolve into his masterwork. Another article, a large article. Caring fathers also take care of their genes, say scientists. So there's nothing about, you know, God creating marriage or anything like that. It's just purely looking after their genes. "Believers are away with the fairies." A full page article on atheism and how believers are away with the fairies. Another article here, "Religion being forced to the margins by secular society." This is all in the last couple of weeks. It's all in the last couple of weeks. Today's Telegraph magazine has this particular one here, "Move Over Darwin, Why Americans Christians Are Taking Their Children Out of School." Now the entire slant of it is against Christianity. It is against the people that homeschool. That's what it's against. It's against people that actually train their children, who do it because they look at the schools and look at the way the schools are going, and they see a school which is not only atheistic and preaching Darwin, but also sex, drugs, and all the other evils of society are there as well. As it says here, it says, "If the Bible is wrong about creation, then it's wrong about everything, and it's redundant as a moral code. Most people would not think of evolution as being in any way related to the taking of drugs or the rise of Hitler, but creationists do. It's a well-represented in creationist material, usually with a tree or a ladder to illustrate the conceptual connection between evolution and lawlessness, abortion, homosexuality, fornication, murder, adultery, and so on. Evolution, then, is the road to atheism, evidence of a rotting mind and a rotting culture. If you allow your children to believe in evolution, they're doomed. It's tantamount," Professor Eve said, "to the bone-chilling fear of their kids becoming homosexual or a pornographic user or an abortionist." Now that is slamming into creationism. But again, it's all part of the media war, the war that we find continually played out within the media. And as I say, it is something that is not going to get better. It's going to get progressively more so. Because you look at the actual conflicts, as I said, the conflicts are not just army against army. The media war is huge today. And that's what Ahmadinejad was all about. That's what the entire thing was all about. It was to try and win the media war, because he could see the threat from America rising to actually bomb the installations regarding the nuclear facilities. When we come to even the Catholic areas, if you turn over to Revelation 13, if you just turn over to Revelation 13, we find here in Revelation 13, it says in verse 14, well, notice Verse 13, and he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Here's this false prophet. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, how does the world know about all of this? You know, the answer is dead easy in today's society. It is the media. It's not just the miracles he does. It is also a media campaign as well. They've got to have the two together in order to gear up that final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire to actually follow his direction. And we find out later that, in fact, it actually backfires in a large degree. Now, the article, the quote that I gave about the people who are apoplectic about this nun. Here is this article. It says, "Nun tells of a miracle cure," by John Paul II. "French nun yesterday recounted a miracle cure from Parkinson's disease in testimony that could prompt the Roman Catholic Church to make Pope John Paul II a saint." Now, that's for the article. That was, you know, the people that were atheists were absolutely up in arms about. Because why? It's winning the media campaign. It's a media campaign or a media contest that is taking place. And you find it in so many areas. The cardinal attacks state's anti-religious thinking. Britain's most senior Roman Catholic leader attacked the government last night for accepting anti-religious thinking, which was marginalising belief. Where's it coming from? The Roman Catholic Church. Another one. This is from Friday, March the 30th. Nazi Pope helped Jews flee the Holocaust. Pius the 12th, the wartime pontiff, often condemned as Hitler's Pope, was actually considered an enemy by the Third Reich, according to newly discovered documents. Again, Hitler's Pope, they even had, I think, a book on Hitler's Pope. And it therefore castigated this particular Pope, who was in line with Hitler. But now the whole thing is changing. Now they've suddenly discovered some new documents, which is going to throw a new light, and therefore he suddenly finds several letters and memos unearthed at a depot used by the Stasi and the Ace German secret police show that Nazi spies within the Vatican were concerned at Pius's effort to help displace Poles and Jews. Twit again, changing the entire focus. Another one, Pope speaks of Nazi atrocities in the new Easter ritual. This is from today's paper. You're looking at the Pope shocked many Catholics last night with dramatically revised version of the Stations of the Cross. He quoted Etty Hillesum, a Dutch Jew who was executed in Auschwitz in 1943, saying, "We must suppose every new horror and crime with a new piece of the truth and goodness. We may suffer, but we must not succumb." Again, and he's being presented in a different light. Another one, this is again from these last couple of weeks, how the Rottweiler Cardinal lost his bite and became the lovable German Shepherd Pope. And it goes on here, it says, as papal right-hand man, he was known as Cardinal Rottweiler on account of his habit of savaging the Catholic dissenters. And that most agreed, was how Joseph Ratzinger would have operated as Pope Benedict the 16th. But the successor to John Paul II is turning out to be something of a revelation, as he showed yesterday in celebrating a mass to mark the second anniversary of the Polish pontiff's death. Far from being overshadowed by his predecessor, Benedict is approaching his second Easter as Pope less than a Rottweiler than a German shepherd capable of giving you a nasty nip, but willing to reveal a soft underbelly. Again, reinventing the way he was. You're looking at, again, a media campaign. You're looking at a propaganda war that is actually taking place. And you can see it in so many other areas. You see it within government all the time. Articles like this one, it says the politics has always been spun, but now it's out of control. The current Director General of the CBI calls it spin. His predecessor more bluntly described it as untrue. But either way, Ed Ball's claims that the Chancellor's abolition of dividend tax credit for pension funds was made at the CBI's request is incredible. Basically, what happened is the Chancellor is claiming that his taking away of the pension rights was done at the request of the central, the CBI, the business organisation. And in fact, it's insanity to think that the business organisation would even say that. But again, it's the spin that is placed on there. And when you come into schools as well, you find this something quite similar. Teachers drop the Holocaust to avoid offending Muslims. Schools are dropping the Holocaust from history lessons to avoid offending Muslim pupils, a government-backed study has revealed. It found some teachers are reluctant to cover the atrocity for fear of upsetting students whose belief include Holocaust denial. Another one, no lesson on the Holocaust in case pupils are offended. Schools are dropping controversial subjects from history lessons such as the Holocaust and the Crusades because teachers do not want to cause offence. The way the slave trade is taught can lead white children as well as black pupils to feel alienated, according to a study by the Historical Association. And again, it is trying to have this propaganda war. Another one, this is coming from the Mail on April 2nd. It says, the police send in four officers to deal with a boy of 11 who called his schoolmate gay. When two policemen turned up unannounced at Alan Rawlingson's home asking to speak to his young son, the company director feared the worst, but his concern turned to anger when the officers detailed 11-year-old George's apparent crime, calling one of his school friends gay. So four officers came and called at the house because of that. Well, we're looking at propaganda. We're looking at propaganda not just from one side. And when we see something like what we see seen in Iran, that's quite easy to spot. But just turn over to Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Again, the propaganda war is going to be underway right through the tribulation as well. Because when you come to Revelation 11, and they'll have plenty to have a propaganda war against, these two individuals, the two witnesses, when it finally comes to the end of their life, the propaganda war against them is going to have been huge. Because in verse 8 it says, their dead bodies shall be lying in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. So it's going to lie in Jerusalem. They're going to lie in Jerusalem. And they of the people, and kindreds, and tongues, and nations shall see their dead body 3 days and a half, and will not allow the dead bodies to be put in graves. So in fact, internet-based or media campaign. And it says, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented those that dwelled on the earth. They basically put, you know, God into his rightful place, and said, you go that direction, and this is what's going to happen. And it did. And there's nothing that the Pope or anybody else could do anything against them. And again, you're looking at a media campaign that will take place. So as we look at the news, and as we see the various things taking place, be aware that there is a media campaign that is going on. And that media campaign is something that is certainly against, ultimately it will be against what God is going to be doing. And the father of lies is at the back of it all. The father of lies is behind every single facet of that media campaign.